I mentioned a moment ago, for 30 years now, I've been blessed, 30 years plus, to take a group of young people, my own boys as well. My dad went for maybe 13, 14 years along with us, and of course Benjamin in those days, to all of these places, to the Wilds and Gospel Light for over 10 years. And it's one of the highlights for me as a pastor. It was one of my highlights as a youth pastor in Michigan and in Tennessee, because it's an opportunity to get extra time, more quality and quantity time with people you love. And I'm reminded of what our Lord Jesus did so often with the disciples. You might want to call them the key group. And he would say, come apart and rest a while. And he would take them apart from the bustle and the hustle and the crowd. And in this context, it would be away from TV and internet and so forth, because we don't allow the kids to bring electronic devices at all, not even on the way up or the way back. And just get alone. You know, the Lord Jesus had come apart, and he would sit down with them and teach them and draw them close to himself, knowing that they would need that in their future ministries. And so in many ways, that's what this week becomes for so many of these young people. And I told them on the last night that there are things that I do today, and there are things about who I am today that are a direct result of what happened to me as a teenager at specifically Sand Mountain Bible Camp and another sort of retreat that we did as young people. And I know that's true of some of these folks. A lot of my wife, Louise, she got her assurance of salvation at Bill Bryce Ranch when she was 12. She pointed to that as one of the highest moments in her life. Alicia got her assurance of salvation.
Amen.
Hatcher at this week, just a few days ago. And it was a sweet and a blessed time. This trip had an added element you're going to hear about from a couple of our sponsors, in that we didn't know, nobody knew, in fact, that there was a children's home in Alabama that would literally drop kids off without sponsors or parents, just kids. These are children who had to be removed from a home, obviously because the home was that horrible, the mom and the dad. Had to have been so bad, they removed them from the home and put them in this girl's home. And so they just dropped them off. And even the workers up there were like, wow. And asked, they actually felt like it was a divine appointment, if our sponsors would take them under their wing. What actually ended up happening was not only the sponsors, but these girls took them under their wing in a beautiful way. And some of the other girls there too. And several of them ended up getting saved and baptized today. And you'll get to hear a little bit about that. And so that element, and I mentioned that to them, is that because they got to receive all these convicting messages, and then they also got to give out. You know, it's better to minister. The Son of Man came to minister, not to be ministered to. And that's in itself a growth. And so it's a blessing. Ashley is one of the miracles. If you think about where she was a year ago and this year, climbing rock walls like a monkey. And so she'll talk about that. So Ashley, you're up first.
I feel very scandalous not wearing a mask. I would just like to open with Hebrews 12, 28 through 29, which says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." It was so evident that Christ was working through us and in us this past week at Teen Extreme. It was overall such a blessing, despite a few initial hiccups, and ultimately, some of those hiccups, mostly due to the virus, caused us to have a smaller, what they call like a cabin time group thingy, or fewer number of girls on our dorm floor. This gave us the opportunity to create a bond and connection with the girls that were on our floor. While we tried to be a light in their lives, I think they and their joy were equally, if not more, impactful upon my very own life. The theme of this week was centered around armoring up, seeking wisdom, and laying aside each weight in our lives so that we may be able to run our race. Each of Pastor Burden's messages, as well as what our counselors and sponsors or chaperones shared, addressed themes such as these and were very impactful to me. I was beyond grateful to physically be able to function and go again this year, and it was a huge inspiration to me personally that us girls counselor slash cabin leader, Beth has some of the same health conditions that I live with and also chooses to lean on God and the joy of the Lord for her strength rather than what we may lack. She also emphasized that what may be a weakness often turns into the reason in which you are strong. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I just want to say a huge thank you to especially Miss Crystal. Where are you, Miss Crystal? Front row. Thank you. And to Miss Diaz, also right there, for your outpouring of love into us girls throughout this whole trip. My parents for making it possible for me to go. Love you guys. Mr. Kevin for the free slushies. He came through. It was very appreciated. And Pastor for being so awesome and encouraging throughout the whole trip. Additionally, I would just like to say thank you to all the chaperones who made this trip possible from driving. Where are you guys? Raise your hands. Where are they? There. Okay, thank you. From driving various minivans to putting up with us with so much grace, as well as sacrificing their time, prayers, and care for all of us. Finally, I would like to add a stanza from the song we sang at camp. It really stood out to me. It reads, "You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. You are always only good." Thank you.
Amen.
Hello, everybody. I'm going to wear my mask like this because that's how all the counselors wore it, so I guess it's the cool thing. I don't know. Never mind. Anyhow, so it was a thank you to everyone who helped take us, because obviously we wouldn't be able to go without you guys, and you know, we look forward to it every year, and it's a great time. And, you know, this year especially was really, really fun. I mean, there were so many things to do. They had, you know, for me, I love sports and everything. There was like a bunch of extra competitions. They had like a soccer tournament, basketball tournament, which we won those, and it was just really fun. And one funny story, actually, the Martins, they were gonna play. There's this, you know, they have like racquetball courts and stuff in like these boxes, and they have this one that's not racquetball, but it's called volleyball. So it's volleyball, but you have to hit it against the walls. And there was this, they have these lights on top, and they're covered by plastic covers. And as we were playing, all of a sudden we start seeing the plastic inside of one of the lights start sliding out. And we just kept playing, and you know, joking around about how it could fall or whatever. But then we got to this high intensity moment where everyone was just screaming and yelling, and I guess the vibrations shook the walls, and we see these giant plastic cover light covers just fall right next to us, and just all of us freaked out. But you know, thank the Lord, it wasn't our time to go yet. So, but more than just being fun, it was a really great week. God really used that week, and I know for a lot of our teens, God really spoke to us. And it was interesting because we were supposed to have Kenny Baldwin, but God really knew who he wanted us to hear this week and who he was going to speak through, because
Amen.
Adrian Burden wasn't what we were expecting, but he was very young, and he really related to us teens, and so it was different than anything we were expecting. But one thing that really stood out for me was one of the messages where he talked about being a better witness. And he went through the story of Lazarus and the rich man, and how the rich man asked, the first thing he asked for was a drop of water. And then after that, when he realized he couldn't get that, he asked that someone would go and witness to his brothers. And he was saying how if someone in hell has a burden for lost people, how is it that us as Christians don't have that same burden? And that really spoke to my heart. So I know it was brief, but that I just want to share what God spoke to me about that week. Thank you.
Amen. Titus and Alex, so a couple of young guys come on up here. Titus and Alex, they were on we have the young guy van, and then the bro-mobile. That was the older guys. It smelled like a mixture. What would you say? It was a mixture of Axe and onions. So that's why I drive my own car every year. I don't have to put up with that stuff. All right, we're going to start with Titus. Alex, you can be seated.
Hi. This week at camp, the preacher was amazing. All his messages were good. But a month or so before Pensacola, I talked to my mom, and I got a lot of stuff right with God.
Amen.
The week of Pensacola, a lot of the things that the preacher talked about, I had already talked about with God and my mom. It was amazing because it felt free at the end of each service.
Amen.
I want to thank the people that took us, and I want to thank my parents for letting me go.
Amen.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to do that. I am Alex White, and this was my first year at camp. I want to start off by thanking everybody, my parents, for letting me go, all the sponsors and counselors, for really making it letting me have a good time. So the first, two sermons, they were really good, but the third one really stood out. It was about respecting and honoring those in authority. And I made some decisions that night, and I felt, really good. But during that sermon, at the beginning and in the middle, all up to the end, I kept telling myself, this doesn't apply to me. I don't need it. But, you know, at the end, God will get his point across one way or another. And during the invitation, I talked to somebody about some problems I had. And, yeah, I had a good time. Thank you, everybody, again. That's it.
Amen.
All right, Elizabeth and Lily, why don't you both come up here? One of you sit down, one come up, and then I'm going to... Elizabeth, maybe she wasn't scheduled, but you are now. Also, Michaela and Kylie, if you guys want to, after they're done, I'm going to give you... You don't have to, but if you want to, I'll do this. All right? All right. Who wants to go first? The one I buttonholed? Good job. Preach a sermon.
Oh, no. I'm just going to share what I shared to some of my friends from school. It was by no coincidence that me and all the other Beacon girls ended up on the same floor as seven girls from a home. These seven girls have all been taken from their homes in the worst circumstances and were just starving for love. Reaching out to them, getting out of our comfort zones and cliques was hard, but so, so worth it. I have never felt God's love so strongly before for so many strangers so quickly. Although we didn't get to know them for very long, four got saved, and this morning at their home church, some were baptized, praise the Lord. Although they believed that we were such a blessing to them, I believe that this week wouldn't have been such a great spiritual experience without them. Because of them, I grew closer to the Lord and learned that you really never know what someone is going through. Thank you to the chaperones who helped us, and for the experiences and the talks that we talked about, and for driving the vehicles. Thank you.
So this week was really awesome, and I could go on and on about all the sermons and how amazing they were, because they were, and they spoke. Each one had something for everyone. And we also had amazing chaperones that we got to learn a lot from. But for me this week, I would say that my biggest lessons came from seven girls and two chaperones. So throughout the week, we got to know these girls who were on our floor. And even though a lot of them we didn't get to talk to very much, by the last night, we got to speak with them some more, and we gave them each a Bible and a journal that we had all written notes of encouragement in. And watching each of those girls open that and read those notes, and just the way you can see in their faces that they just wanted to be loved, and that we were able to do that for them, and just we got to grow with them, and it was really awesome experience. And then also Mrs. Diaz and Miss Crystal, who are always there for us, and they really pushed us to be with those girls and to love on them, and it really just made it for an amazing experience. And I learned that I need to keep my heart open to the people around me, and I need to be less selfish, and I need to see the people around me and know that they're going through something that I can never understand. And that was just really what I learned this week.
Amen. I put these girls on the spot. They didn't know I was going to do this. But you know what amazes me is my memories of Mackenzie, their mother. standing in the pulpit on Center Street after every youth conference and giving, always crying, cry, cry, cry. such a crybaby. I'm sorry. But she would give her testimony. It was always a blessing. And I, there are some people in our church now that say, I remember when little Mackenzie used to give her testimonies. And so it's just a blessing to see that people have passed the torch. And they do have long-lasting impact. So you go first. Okay.
So, yeah, this is on the spot. But, hey, this is going to be fun. So I went to camp also this year. And I got to hang out with some of these people down here as well. And it was a really awesome week. I really enjoyed it. The pastor was amazing. That volleyball experience, yeah, that was pretty funny when the light came crashing down. But yeah, besides all of that, the messages were really challenging. You could tell the preacher, Pastor Adrian, was completely genuine in his burden. Every time he preached, it was like he was preaching right to you, like the Lord was speaking right through him. And I remember before every single message, he would pray this prayer that it wouldn't be him speaking, but that it would be God speaking through him. And that everything about Adrian would just go away and God would take over. And I really thought about that and I was like, that's awesome. Two messages were my favorite. One was the one about hell and the rich man. And it was the title was something too. It was titled The One Thing I Want from Hell, and it was about the burden that the people in hell have for those who aren't saved, and that was really touching. The other message was one about choosing between the good and the best decisions in our life. You know, when we are going through our lives, there's a lot of temptations, and there's a lot of good kids in the world, but there are a lot of good kids that are making, you know, good decisions. You know, they obey their parents' rules. They may not always like it, but they obey. But they're kind of living on the edge, you know. He gave an example, and he had multiple chairs. And over on one side was the best decisions chair. Then there was the better decision chair. And then there was the good decision chair. And then there was sin. And he said a lot of us are just sitting right there at that good decision chair when we could be making the best decisions for our lives. And it really touched me and challenged me, you know, compensating for our sinful flesh, and it really touched me. I had a great time, so yeah, that's about it. Thank you.
Hello. So thank you, Mom and Dad, for taking us. And so this week was probably one of the best weeks that I've ever had at camp. The pastor, like my sister said, you could tell he was like really genuine in what he said, and you knew he would like yell at some points, but you knew that he meant it. But also, each of his messages, he didn't just preach on one topic. When he preached on that topic, there was something in it for everyone, and like it was enough for like a lot of people each night went up to the altar and made decisions, and it was really cool to see. And it was also a lot of fun. And I would say that the smaller amount of groups really helped us get closer to a lot of people. And yeah, and one of the messages that really spoke to me was also the hell one, because I can be shy sometimes, and so I'm scared to like talk about stuff. So it was really good for me, because I need to be better about witnessing to people, because it is, hell is a scary thing. So yeah, thank you.
Thank you, girls. All right, I'm going to have some of the chaperones come up. Is Brother Robbie here? Come on, Robbie, and Mike Chung. They're going to come up, and after they're finished, we'll have Marlene and Crystal come up, and then this guy back here, which is his spiritual birthday. He'll tell you about that a little bit later. Today, he got saved at youth conference that we were on. Robbie, you first.
Hi, good evening. Again and again and again, it was my pleasure to take these fine young folks. I'll give you a very brief testimony. There was some spiritual stuff in there, but probably the best thing was that we got out of the escape room. We, the adults, got out of the escape room. I'm just kidding. That was an ongoing thing with us. But we had a great time. The activities. Played Ultimate Frisbee with Aaron and some of the older folks, Mr. Chung, Kevin. We and just the spirit there was so awesome. We picked up a couple guys from that were also on the blue team. One of the guys was a special needs guy, and he was able to make kind of a big point for us by catching the disc. And you know, it's like little stuff to us, you know, but you know, could be huge to another person, you know. And it just kind of fits so perfectly with the theme that ended up being this week of living outside of yourself and seeing others like our girls so hugely saw. So spiritually, in Pastor Burden's messages to us, to me, he kept repeating a refrain in the sponsor meetings, was don't let your good be evil spoken of. And so so for me, just Robbie Pickett, not y'all, but for me, what does that look like in my Christian walk? What does that look like in my witnessing to others? So like I say, this is Robbie Pickett, face masks, something I really resisted because I've got a little bit of medical knowledge. I'm like, oh, these are stupid, and I'm an American, and how dare somebody tell me I have to wear a face mask? That's so authoritarian, and I'm an American. But don't let your evil be spoken of. So while I'm walking around and saying, wow, I'm a red-blooded American, there are people that are legitimately afraid of for their lives, and rightfully so. I've seen people struggling for every single breath that they take. I've seen it, and it's dramatic. And so I understand why they would be afraid of me walking past them in public, being like, hey, how you doing? And like, how dare you, right? Don't let your evil be spoken of. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, right? So in my life, my decision, it's really convicting. Wear a stupid mask that you might have an opportunity to point that person to Christ. And that, to me, just seems like Christian 101. And then once we get past this, then maybe we can get to Christian 202 and we'll talk politics and race relations, right? So that's my testimony from camp. Beautiful time. Pastor Burden was an amazing speaker. I would go anywhere if he were speaking on how to be a better man, how to be a better father. Amazing. Highly recommended. Thank you very much for sending us.
Thank you, church, for praying for us while we are gone. I know that the Holy Spirit was at work, because a lot of times with youth conferences, people wait till like Thursday night at midnight to make that decision. They've been, you know, you could see teenagers and they're grind, you know, holding onto the pew as hard as possible, and they know the decisions they have to make, and they're like, oh, I'm going to make that decision. I'm going to wait till the very last moment. But the Lord used Brother Burden's in such a mighty way that by Tuesday, I saw dramatic change in people, not just the group that we brought, but in the lives of many of the others. So the Lord was able to work in a mighty way. Also, we did get out of the escape room, as you know, so yes. Amen to that. One of the things that I saw there was that the counselors at this camp literally poured out their lives to our young people, right? It's normal for you to care about them as their parent, right? Of course you do. But to have somebody who just met them, love them sincerely, and get on their level was absolutely amazing, right? And it started from the leadership there with Chuck, and all the way down to the music ministry, the team that helped minister music, and their counselors, cabin counselors. So wherever they are, we thank them. We thank them for their love they showed, and honestly, the godly attitudes that they demonstrated. That you can be a young person and serve God wholeheartedly and unashamedly. I want to share something I wrote in my Bible about this young man named Nicholas LaShawn. He got saved, and he's a new creature. He has a new life, and he was one of the ones from the group home, one of the young men. And we were able to spend, I was able to share with him the gospel, but he was so ready. And one of your young people, he saw him kind of walking around close to us. And he's like, they're like, well, you know, he wants something, but he's too shy to ask, right? He's a very shy person. So one of the young people just said, "Hey, you know, do you want to get saved?" He's like, "Yes."
Wow.
And so God was able to save him that day. And now we have another brother in Christ, right? Literally, right? And so I want you to pray for Nicholas. And I'm not going to try to name all the young ladies that I didn't get to meet as much. But pray for those ones that made decisions to follow Christ and to get saved. Because they're going to need your prayers and support. Even though you do not know them, they need your prayers and support. So please join me in praying for them. All right, thank you, folks.
Amen.
First, I want to say thank you for those that were praying, and thank you to Rick for keeping my two little ones at home. It was a blessing just to be going as a chaperone and not having kids hanging on me. So I thank you, Rick. Thank you so much. It was a wonderful week. I stand here very humbled and very grateful for what God did this week. There's so many God moments that I could sit here for hours and talk about. All of them were amazing. As you heard, our speaker was exactly who our teens needed to hear. He was practical. I really am excited that we actually got to go. With the whole COVID thing, I was doubting. I thought at the last minute they were going to pull the plug. So I praise God that we were able to go. And at camp, you get a lot of things. You get to do sports. You get to rock climb. You get to spend time with friends. So there's a lot of things that you get. I think, though, the one that I was most blessed by is what we were able to give. And you've heard the testimonies, and you're going to see it in the slides. Any faces that you see with our young people that you don't know, those are those young girls, and even Nick. And Skylar was the teenager that asked Nick. She had the boldness to say, "Hey, do you want to be saved?" So I was just so proud of all of our teens and how they loved these girls. That's something that they're going to hang on to the rest of their lives. It's because of you invested. And that's what this life's all about. So thank you. And I challenge you to don't let it stop here. We have friends and our neighbors, people all around us. So just continue to do what you did this week. So eternity was changed. That's the most awesome thing that happened this week. And I just pray that we never forget what God did. We encouraged our teens to, we got this idea from another church, but we encouraged our teens to write a letter to themselves. Write everything that God did this week so that, and seal it, hand it to one of our sponsors, so that when we see that they're either discouraged or maybe they're taking a wrong step, we can mail that letter to them and just say, "Hey, remember what God did." And I've already received one of those letters, and I loved how she worded it, "Future Anna." I was like, "That's cool." So Marlene has a few things to share, and thank you so much for praying.
That first night when the counselor shared with us that there was a group home of girls, I know we immediately felt God wants us to do something here, and we did challenge our girls. I remember the conversation and outside of our restroom, I said, "Girls, there's a group of girls across the hall that their lives couldn't be any more opposite than yours. And only by the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus are we, including myself, not in that hallway. So I know we're here together and we're going to build great memories and we have plans of all the things that we're going to do. And we're so excited that we even got to come. But I know the Lord has placed us here for such a time as this." And I was not prepared for how to heart our teens, girls, took that challenge. They really stepped outside themselves, and there was breakfast and lunch and dinner and sought every opportunity. But I really wanted to paint the picture of just how broken these girls were, because we could just walk away or as a congregation say, "Oh, they were girls from homes." These were girls from exceptionally broken. If they were taken, means things were really bad. And I wanted to give you an example of one of our favorite ones. They were all my favorite. But Little Diamond, I don't think none of us will forget Little Diamond. I'm a very touchy-feely person, and I have to restrain myself because not everybody, you know, likes for me to touch them. But I just wanted to reach out and show love. I just felt that burden for them. And each of them, in their own way, would receive that from me. But the first time I touched this little girl, Diamond, at breakfast, I just reached down and simply touched her arm. She recoiled. Her reaction of just a simple touch was so heartbreaking because I cried inside, Lord, what has this child been through that a simple touch of my hand has caused her body to cease? So I just prayed, Lord, I don't know how to reach this little diamond. Just help us, Lord. Help us. How can we minister to her? And it was one after the other. There was two girls in particular that wouldn't look at me in the face. We'd approach them, and it was eyes down. There was one that practically ran the other way. They just didn't know what to do with a bunch of girls that just wanted to love on them. They didn't know. I would imagine that they would assume, what is their agenda? What do they want from us? And just be very suspicious. Diamond and Becca and Kylie of the group, She has been there the longest in the home, and she was the mother hen. And it wasn't really until Kylie gave the okay that all these people are okay that they started tearing, that Mama Kylie told them, yeah, I think these people are okay. So one by one, these girls, Becca, one of the hard ones, one of the ones that have been through a lot, was just precious. And then there was Amanda. Amanda from the get-go gets saved Tuesday night and says, I don't want to hang out with my group anymore. You're my group now. And these girls totally embraced her. In the morning, Amanda was there. When it was bedtime, Amanda was in our room. When the counselor would come and do bed checks, Amanda would hide behind the desk. She was determined to stay with us. The girls were supposed to sing solos, two of them. And they just didn't have the courage. They didn't have an adult there to push them along. So I said, hey, girls, what if you get them to practice a song together? And the girls took of their free time, brought them into the room, and you helped them put a song together. But the last minute in the morning, Kylie was like, I can't do it. And I didn't feel led to push her. I could push you, girls. Get up there and do it for the Lord. But I didn't know this child, what she'd been. I didn't feel led to push her. So they come up with the idea, and they sing with us. So we have, when you see the pictures, if they're up there, there's three girls. They're not new members of the church. Those are just the girls from across the hall. But now, sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Sisters in Christ. And a couple of more things that I wanted to share. When the girls took their time out of their free time to fill out those journals, when we gave those journals and those Bibles to those girls, the love that they received, they just could not believe, and they so gingerly and carefully just read each note, and tears flew, and then all the girls embraced. And I want to say for at least an hour they sang together. They sang hymns. They sang, Yes, Jesus, Love Me. All embraced, these girls and that girls. And I don't think we will ever forget that moment. And in the midst of that, people were saved. I mean, hearts were mended. The Lord just did such a mighty work. It reminded me of what we read in John that we just passed by, where it says that if we were to write down all the things that Jesus did, the books wouldn't contain. Well, we don't have enough time tonight to share every single thing that the Lord did. And it was because you had willing hearts. You were willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus. You were willing, girls, to say, yeah, we're going to have fun, but there's girls that need us, and we're going to be Jesus for them this week. And that was incredible. And that little boy, Nicholas, that Mr. Chung spoke about, he was sort of floating around us, not really knowing what to do with all these happy ladies and all these girls. And he would just get closer and closer. And it was that night, the last assembly, that he was at the end of the row. And I'm thinking to myself, I see you, Nicholas. And then all of a sudden, he's eight seats away. I see you. And I just played it cool. I'm having a happy dance inside. And then he's five seats. And finally, he's next to me. And then it was Skylar. There's crazy. It's so crazy in there. They're screaming and jumping and music and all these things. And Skylar turns to him and says, hey, bud, do you want to be saved? And this hooded boy said, yes. And then Skylar says to me, Miss Marlene,
Nicholas wants to be saved, and I just want to jump out of my seat, but I have to play it cool. So I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. And I'm like, Skylar, would you please find Mr. Chung? And I just converse with him, and Skylar booms and brings Mr. Chung, and a soul. And a soul was saved. And that little diamond, the one that recoiled, by Wednesday, when our teens were singing and she saw the girls from her home up there, there was one song that really touched her, and she started to cry. And I said, Diamond, are you okay? And she said, oh, I just got something in my eye. And I said, I'm about to get something in my eye, too. And what did you know? At the end of that song, the little girl that completely recoiled when I touched her threw her head on my chest, and I was able to embrace her. And that only the Lord. Only the Lord. Only the Lord. And only because of your obedience, because of your heart, and that you were willing, you were open to them and look beyond yourself. And the last thing I'm going to share, Becca, the one that was so hardened. I said to her the last breakfast, I went up to their table where they were sitting, and I said, girls, I got to tell you, I'm going to have a hard time saying goodbye tonight. And she looked at me and she says, all you got to do is not cry. And I said, what do you mean? I said, if you have tears, you've got to cry. She says, no, because once I let my tears start, I won't stop. And I said, well, I don't think I commented to that, but it was in the back of my mind. And that night, when all of our teens, after all that singing, we prayed together, and it was just a beautiful moment. Our teens went to bed, and I stayed behind because I had a few things that I wanted to share with those four older girls, some things that I think from my testimony that was going to help them. And wouldn't you know that Becca put her head here, embraced my neck, and just sobbed, and we sobbed together. And she said to me, can I go home with you? And I said, oh, Becca, I would take every single one of you home. Tonight, I'd put you in my suitcase. Nobody know where you'd been. I'd take you home, and Mr. D is just going to have to build an addition. Another one. But I said, that sounds like a great plan. But you know what? That's not God's best plan. And I said, I promise you, as he's done in my life, he wants to turn all this for your good. If you love him, if you seek him, I promise you, and I'm begging you, those Bibles that we gave you, read them. Seek him. Talk to him. I promise you, he promises to turn all this stuff for your good. And that was precious. And that was because of your hearts, girls.
Something about Diamond that I would like to share is it was in that moment that our girls were showing Christ love and giving them their Bibles and their journals, and there was tears everywhere. I don't know, buckets of tears. And poor little Diamond, she's just sitting there, and she looked up at me, and I just said, she followed me over. I said, are you okay? She says, can I please talk to you? And so I said, of course. So I took her into the bedroom, and there on the floor, she bowed her head and received Christ as her personal Savior. And it was just such a blessing. So after that moment, we come out, and I'm watching our girls. They're just singing for hours. And I'm like, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like the next day now. And so, Marlene's like, we can't stop now. And I'm like, well, what do we do? So I prayed, they continued to sing, and so then I got within the circle, I got their attention, I just said, hey girls, I said, this is an open invitation for every single one of you. If God is working on your heart, there's anything that you would like to share or need somebody to talk about, we're here. You see all these counselors around, come seek us out. And it wasn't even a second later, little Alicia Hatcher steps out of her comfort zone. And she said, Miss Crystal, can I talk to you? And I said, of course, honey. So I took her into the bedroom. And she was struggling with assurance, and that hit me hard because I did the same exact thing at 11 years old. And I was able to walk through the scriptures with her. She knows the Bible, but she wanted to make sure. And she got assurance of that night. And so we even have one of our own that received Christ that night. And I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to spend hours with these girls. Each and every one was a special blessing to my heart. And I want you to know that I love you all very, very much. Amen.
All right, Chrissy asked, so we're going to let her talk as well. And Marlene told me that whole story, every bit of that, at a restaurant. And when she did, I said, you have to share that with the church. And I'm glad she did. She and Crystal did that together. What a blessing that was. You're going to see them singing in that circle in a few moments in a video, as well as the baptism. And some of these decisions on Monday night, the very first night, I think it was Monday night, it was actually Larry Diaz who came and I mean, these guys manned up, Larry and Lucas both, and making decisions, and these young men too. And I'm just grateful for them. Christy, come on, girl.
So, bottom line, they forgot me. No, I'm kidding. So, one thing that I found interesting about camp this week was that it was unexpected. If I were to pick one word to describe my experience at camp, it would be that it was unexpected. On the way up to camp, our coach broke down. And although this was a setback, I believe I gained something from it, because I had the opportunity to ride and chat with some of the girls in our youth group who I maybe normally wouldn't have been placed with to ride with if it hadn't broke down. And I grew closer to a lot of people in the youth group that may not have happened if the coach didn't break down. On the way back from Teen Extreme, we visited the University of Florida, which I couldn't believe I was actually going into. If you don't like gators, avoid the swamp. Amen. Go Noles. So, a few unexpected things happened while I was actually at camp. Due to COVID, Kenny Baldwin, obviously you guys know this, he was originally going to preach this past week for Teen Extreme, and he could not make it. So, Adrian Burden was selected to preach, and I know that God was working in my heart this week and a lot of people's hearts who ever heard the sermons. I was convicted by the sermons, and I felt God's peace and his calling this week at camp. And I know that God placed him there for a reason, because his preaching was powerful and it affected everyone who listened. I experienced one last thing at camp that I will never forget, and you know the story of the 7 girls in the children's home who were placed on our hall. Throughout the week, we started to know them, and we started to reach out to them, and they did the singing competition with us, and they did activities with us. But on the very last night, something happened, and like Mrs. Diaz was saying, Kylie, that one girl, she was sharing her testimony about some of the things she had gone through in her life, and how she knew that even through that, she was still God's child. And so every single one of them, after that, we were crying, we were praying, and we were singing for hours. We were just, it was like 3 a.m., and we were still singing. But one by one, they received Christ as their Savior, and it was such a gift to me to know that we had a part in that, and it was God working through us. And I know it was not an accident that they had been placed in our hall, and I know it was not an accident that Adrian Burden ended up preaching. It was not an accident that every unexpected thing on this trip happened, because I knew God knew exactly what he was doing. And when I saw those girls receiving Christ, I knew it wasn't an accident. And I just want to thank everyone, all the counselors who came with us to camp, and all the girls, and everyone in our youth group, and just want to thank everyone who prayed for us, and it was a wonderful time.
How are we doing tonight? Are we doing all right? We didn't come to get out, amen? And I appreciate the testimonies. Camp and conference are always something very, very special to me. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at the clock, and probably right about this time, about 19 years ago, in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, there at the Coliseum where Wake Forest plays their basketball, the preacher was preaching, the invitation was about to be given. And I remember what the preacher preached on. It wasn't necessarily a gospel message, but the Holy Spirit of God was preaching the gospel to me. I heard it a million times on the church bus. Every time I stepped into junior church, I heard the gospel But at that moment, I realized that I was a sinner, that I was in need of a Savior. And at that youth conference 19 years ago today, I went and I got right on this side of the altar and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me. And so camp and conference is something where these young people make important decisions. And I hope, young people, that you never get over the choices and decisions that you made. Having said that, I had a great time with the young people this week, laughing with them, crying with them, drinking some weird concoctions that they made for me, ice cream and hot sauce and ketchup and all that nastiness. So thanks for that, Ben Farmer. He's right here. But we had a great time together. So if you got your Bibles, I'll not be long tonight. Judges chapter number 2. Judges in the second chapter. Just want to say I had a lot of fun with the young people, but one of the greatest things for me was hanging around the sponsors. Brother Mike and Brother Robbie and even Brother Jeff back there. Go Gators. But just to hang with them a little bit and you go to the gym in the morning. I didn't climb the rock wall because I couldn't, thanks to Jeff and the gym in the mornings, but just a wonderful time. And I hope you'll commit to pray for these young people and encourage them. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. The Bible says, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." There arose generation after them which knew not the Lord. One of the biggest things that our young people face is that they're biblically illiterate. Not our young people specifically, but in our world, there's a lot of people that do not know the Word of God. And as parents and as church members, I hope that it would be our job to teach them, to encourage them, to equip them. When I was a young person in the youth group, it seems like 100 years ago that I was that person. We used to play this game. Where's Rick Catcher? Rick, you remember this game. This game that we called Pass It On. We'd play this game and Mark Sherrata would come up to me or Rick Catcher would come up to me and he'd tap me on the shoulder and whisper in my ear after a light punch and he would say, "Pass it on." Which meant to me, as somebody who just got hit by Rick, go find another young person and punch them even harder. Pass it on. And so Mark or Rick back there, he's getting in trouble. That's right. He'd come up to me and punch me and I'd race. He'd say, "Pass it on." I'd go find Arthur. I'd go find Andy. I'd go find Rick. I'd find somebody just to punch him in the arm. And then I would say, "Pass it on." My arm would be bruised. My mom was like, "What is the matter with you?" I said, "It's Rick's fault." And by the way, young people, under the sound of my voice, that doesn't, just because I'm telling this story, don't do that, okay? Brother Kevin said that I can go and hit somebody because he said he did it. And don't, no, I'm not saying that at all. But the principle was, pass it on. Pass it on. As adults in the room tonight, I encourage you to pass it on. It's one thing to be able to teach your son or your daughter some skill in some sport, but it's another thing to pass on what you've learned about God. Many of you here tonight have learned many things from the Lord. You've seen God provide for you. You've seen God do wonderful things in your life. You know a little bit about the Bible. You know a little bit about church. You know a little bit about prayer. And so I say to you, pass it on. Pass it on. Keep teaching these young people about the Word of God. Keep teaching these young people about salvation. Keep teaching them about church. Keep teaching them about praying. What I'm saying tonight is keep passing it on. What can we pass on tonight? And I'll be very quick, I promise. But what can we pass on? Number one, pass on evangelizing sinners. I love this week. One of the things that was just a huge blessing to me is that our young people, they got outside their comfort zone. And instead of them going to get another free Slurpee, you're welcome, y'all, over here, okay? Instead of going to get another free milkshake, or instead of going to climb the rock wall, or instead of going to get a good night's sleep, yeah, that's right. They came outside of themselves and they decided, well, we're going to tell people the gospel. You realize, I hope you never get over it, that these girls and this young boy that got saved, they went to camp, they were on their way to hell, and now they're going home on their way to heaven. Hey, that's a big deal. Amen. I agree with myself. Lives were changed because somebody decided this week is not just going to be about what I get.
Parents, let me encourage you. Keep preaching the gospel at your home. Keep telling people how they can get saved. Tell them about what Jesus did for them. Tell them that there's a problem with sin, but tell them that there's a severe punishment. Tell them that a payment was paid, that Jesus died for those people's sins. They died for the world. I love that. That these girls and this boy got saved. I love watching Brother Mike. We were screaming. If you can't tell, my voice is a little hoarse tonight because I was screaming with the kids, trying to get the blue team to win and reminding the kids that we escaped the escape room. Y'all didn't. But my voice was gone. But we were screaming and cheering the blue team to victory. And in the midst of all that madness, I looked up in the stands and there was Mike. Bible cracked open, kid listening. What I'm saying is pass it on, the gospel. Tell somebody. Mike and Skyler, good job. They were on Soul Patrol. I like that. Pass it on. We evangelize sinners. Secondly, we educate them in the scriptures. We've been passed a great book, the Word of God. One of our jobs as youth workers, your jobs as parents, your jobs as church members is to educate people in what thus saith the Lord. You can teach them how to hit a draw. Pastor, I wish you'd teach me how to hit a draw. You know, that's not going to happen anytime soon. Not because he won't, because I can't. We can teach kids all kinds of things. How to sink a free throw. How to make a layup, Larry. But teach them the scriptures. Line by line, precept by precept. Make the Bible a priority in the home if it isn't already. Listen, these kids, many of them got fired up this week, and you know the thing that is going to keep them fired up? The Word of God is going to keep them fired up. And help them get in the Word of God. Pass it on. Exemplify the saints. You know, you either are or you soon shall be like the people you run around with. As parents, as church members, we need to be examples of people who are faithful Christians, examples of people who love the Lord. And we need to teach these kids and be examples of somebody that could be followed in the Lord. That's like what Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Oh, we can be an example. And you know what I'm talking about. The more you get around some people, the more you start to act like those people. You start to finish each other's sentences. You start to think like they start to think. And would to God this church would get fired up for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when the young people looked up to you and when the kids looked up to you, they'd see somebody that's on fire for the Lord. And you know what? Something like that is contagious. Y'all can keep your Rona to yourself, but an example for the Lord, go ahead. That's contagious too. Pass it on. Be an example of the saints. Very, very quickly, exalt the Savior. Oh, wouldn't it be nice if we saw as this church, people just exalting the Savior. You know, there's a lot that you can look at and complain about in this world. Oh, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I can't believe I have to wear the mask. Oh, I can't believe that I didn't escape the escape room. There's so many things that you can complain about, but how about exalting the Savior? Isn't God good? Isn't God a good provider? Isn't God a wonderful Savior? That's the God that we have. And instead of complaining about all the politics and everything that's going on in this world, you can talk about how good our Savior is. Is that right? Resonating? We have a good God. Let's talk about him. Exemplify the saints, exalt the Savior, exhort steadfastness. Young people, I know it's unpleasant, but look right up here. All right. Sometimes life may not be as easy as you hope it'd be, but you can do it. You can follow the Lord. You can serve the Lord all the days of your life. Remember what Brother Burton said, that you don't have to have that testimony where you went away from the Lord as you became an older teenager. You can be steadfast. You can be somebody that says, I have decided to follow Jesus all the days of my life. And then when you're 20 and when you're 30 and when you're 40, you can look back. Hey, I'm so glad I stuck with the Lord. I'm so glad I was able to be faithful and God has used me. You can do this because God is able. It's not about you. It's about your wonderful Savior. You can be steadfast. Exalt the Savior. Exhort steadfastness. Encourage in struggles. How many of you ever struggled before? Yes? I'm wrapping up, I promise. But it's our job to pass on that our God is faithful, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. That is all of our job. Pass it on. Enjoy the stage. You know what, just watching you kids this week, I was like, man, I remember back in the day
when I was like Ben Farmer and my voice was gone too. Got to pick at him a little bit because you made me drink that. I promise I'm wrapping up. But enjoy this time because you have teenagers and they're never going to be the same age again. They're going to keep growing. Eventually, they won't be the sweet, innocent little teenagers that give Brother Kevin nasty things to drink. But enjoy it. You're not going to be teens forever. I can't believe how fast I became a 30-year-old dude who can't even shoot a basketball anymore. Enjoy the time that you have right now as teenagers. As adults, we need to enjoy it with them. We need to lead them. Leadership says this is where we're going. We need to love them. We need to labor for them. Listen to me. I'm so grateful for our pastor who, in a sense, has labored for somebody like me. When I came as a bus kid at 12 years old, I may have not been the nicest kid or the most well-behaved kid. I may not even have smelled nice, all right? But this was a man who took patience with me, and he loved on me, and he corrected me when I needed to be corrected. And many of you all were able to do that, and many of you all were able to help me with that when I just started riding the bus yesterday, or Saturday rather. Friday is what I'm trying to say. Friday. We stopped in Gainesville. Amen, Christy. I'm up here now. All right. We got out. I got me a bison burger. Tasty. And then Robbie says, Pastor wants you to ride in his car. You got to go to the principal's office. I was like, oh no, what did I do? Oh, I'm in trouble now. But we pull out of the restaurant and we start driving the other way. The highway is literally, for maybe a preacher, it's maybe a 9-iron for you. Maybe for me, it's a couple of drivers, but you know, the highway was literally right there. We start driving down Newberry Road and I'm sitting there, I'm like, we're going the wrong direction. But I didn't say anything because he knows what he's doing. And I said, Preacher, you know it's this way? And he said, no. I said, the swamp's this way. You know, where they play football and inevitably beat FSU every time. But here's what I'm getting to. He got there. We got there. We all got out. Where's Lorelei? Thank you for stealing some of the grass from me. I appreciate it. Pastor said something to me. He goes, happy birthday. I said, what do you mean? My birthday isn't January. He texted me yesterday, I meant for your spiritual birthday. Idiot. No. I meant for your spiritual birthday. There's somebody who's loved me since I was an annoying 12-year-old, now an annoying 33-year-old. Somebody who's labored for me, who's encouraged me, who's prayed for me, who's laughed with me and at me, I'm sure, sometimes. But what I'm saying is enjoy the stage that you're in right now. Love them, labor for them, laugh with them, listen to them. Pass it on. Hey, take a genuine interest in their lives and what God could do with these young people. Don't underestimate the power that God could use them in this world to make a difference. They made a difference in the eternities of 5 young people this week. They'll never be the same. Pass it on. Share people. Tell people about how good our God is. Lastly, tonight, everybody has a spot. There's a spot on the team for everybody to jump into youth ministry. There's a spot for everybody to get in. Maybe you say, well, I'm not good with teenagers. And you get this as a youth worker sometimes. Well, I remember being a teenager once. And it's like, oh, no, here we go again. But you say you may not be able to preach a sermon to teenagers. Or I'm just not good with kids. I'm not good with teenagers. Listen, you can pray for teenagers. You can go around and you can put your arm around them and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, you can go to them and say, hey, let's go get a cheeseburger sometime. You can do that to me, too. But you see, that one thing sticks out to me that I heard, and I'm done, I promise. I'm wrapping up. I've been wrapping up for the last 5 minutes, okay? You don't get mad. This is what the preacher said in one of the sessions to the sponsors. You can't get mad at the stock market if you don't invest in it. Why in the world will we get mad and disappointed at teenagers in whom we have not invested in? Problem is, many of us, we don't take the time. One thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. So my encouragement tonight is pass it on. What has God done in your life and my life that you can teach to somebody who's younger than you are? And teenagers, you're not free from this. I'm talking to y'all too. There's kids that look up to you. You have brothers
You have sisters. And most of the time you're like, man, would you just please leave me alone? But they're watching. Yeah. Anthony's laughing. Hey, Ayla, stop climbing on everything that there is. You know, stop throwing lizards. But it's your turn now. It's our turn to pass it on to them. And it's your turn to pass it on to those that are coming behind you. It's your job. Tell somebody. Don't just kick your brother or sister out of the room. Tell them what God did this week in your life. Tell them what a great savior they are to you. You're not exempt from passing it on. It's your job as well. Pass it on. All right? Now, I better not hear of anybody getting punched because of this. You know what I'm trying to say. Pass on the truth that you've learned to somebody else. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the good word of God. Lord, I think about the generation of young people that's here, Lord, and there's people behind us. Many people who've never heard the name of Christ. There arose a generation which knew not the Lord. Help us to pass it on. Help us to be fervent to pass it on all the things that you've done for us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.